A cabin alone in the woods, my friends and I would visit. We had some good intentions, but still were mostly nitwits. We played the record loud, the demons did abound. Who would have thought this evil would appear? From words merely spoken from a long ago year. Perhaps we should have known from the words that were said, and with a book made of human skin, with a title like The Book of the Dead. But we were fools, and now our future's foregone, for our fate was sealed by the Necronomicon. Good evening, and welcome to Gore, a horror podcast to keep you up at night. I'm the Wicked Kitten, I was getting into mischief, and with me, as always, are my creepy co-hosts, the lovely Travis.
Well, hello.
The endearing, the ethereal Faye.
Hi.
And lastly, the dread you've been feeling since you hit play on this podcast. Dreadly.
Hello.
Well, it's been 2 weeks. What you doing? What you watching? How you been, Travis?
I've been pretty good. Still playing Control, still enjoying the hell out of that game. I did make it to the point where you get the stand-up video game console that you can go into and play. It's one of the altered items, which is kind of fun. So still playing that on stream. Watched the panel from hell with Dread for Baldur's Gate 3, which was really cool.
Woo!
He'll have more to say because I missed the first part of it. But getting much more excited about that game. I can't wait. I did watch a couple movies. I did go see Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny.
Oh, yeah.
I enjoyed it. It was a fun Indiana Jones movie. So
where would you put it?
I mean, it's not as good as the first three movies, but that's sort of an impossible task.
Yeah.
It's much better than Kingdom of the... It did what Kingdom of the Crystal Skull wanted to do, in my opinion, which is continue the legacy of Indiana Jones, be an homage to those original movies, but do something new. This gave you those moments where you're like, yeah, I'm watching an Indiana Jones movie. Yeah, that's really cool. But it didn't feel so on the nose. Like Kingdom of the Crystal Skull constantly had this sort of, hey, remember this kind of stuff that you used to love in those old movies? Huh? Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. This didn't do that nearly as bad. And I like James Mangold as a director. So it was a lot of fun. I also saw John Wick Chapter 4, finally, which was...
Finally. I haven't seen it yet.
Well, for me, because I've now done all four of them for my podcast.
Oh.
And
remember when
that
you did
was
the
really
first
good.
One?
I do.
Remember you had like that really cool chick on there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Scotty, too.
Scotty.
But John Wick Chapter 4 was good. Long. It's like 2 hours and 50 minutes. It is an endurance trial, but it's really, really well done. And speaking of endurance trial movies, watched one on Joe Bob with you, the three of you this last week. Mad God, the stop motion animation from Phil Tippett. And whew, boy, that was something.
Maybe you can summarize the plot for our listeners.
Listen, I could give you a detailed breakdown of everything I watched in that movie, and none of it is going to matter or make any sense. Mm-hmm. It is. I can't describe any of it. A guy goes to hell, I think, and is trying to do a thing with a briefcase, but then he ends up dead and a different guy goes on a different quest. And there's at one point two giant monsters fighting with like sledgehammers. And one of them's got his doodle hanging out. And I don't know. It's weird. It makes absolutely no sense. There isn't really a narrative thread to follow. However, saying all of that, it was fascinating and it's beautiful stop motion anime. I mean, Phil Tippett is like, he's the man when it comes to that stop motion, go motion stuff. But it's a very interesting visual experience. And I would say it's much more of an experience than it is a movie. But it's also got some parts in it that are just like, you don't want to watch. Like the imagery is grotesque. But sure. If you can handle, yeah, if you can handle that, I think it's worth checking out just to experience it.
It's okay. Even Joe Bob couldn't really explain it.
No, unless he tried.
Interview.
Even Phil Tippett could. Yeah.
That's true.
Well, he didn't want to either. He wanted you to watch it as well.
And that is a thing. And I mentioned this when we were watching it together, was I love an artist that will do that. They will make something like this that makes you ask questions like Joe Bob did. And Joe Bob would ask him a direct question like, well, okay, Phil, so what's this movie about? And Phil Tippett's response was, it's about 82 minutes. That's a perfect answer to that question when you're asked about this movie. So it's worth, I would say, find the Joe Bob Last Drive-In episode, watch it, mm-hmm. because watching that movie with interviewing Phil Tippett in the middle of it made it that much better, in my opinion. So definitely something fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's basically what I've been up to. A few movies and then work stuff. Nothing fun.
Right. Faye, how you living? Where are you going? What you doing?
Well, I mean, I too watched a few movies, quite a few Joe Bob ones. Speaking of that same night, they showed Mad God and Perfect Blue. Oh, Perfect Blue is such a good movie. If anybody complains about, oh, anime is just for kids, no. No.
Ooh.
No.
Yeah. I mean, we sort of knew that already growing up when you would find stuff like Akira and whatnot. That ain't for kids either. But, like, Perfect Blue is the whole different animal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very good. Very well done. Very thoughtful. But yeah, no, I mean, it's one of the few, I guess you could say, slashers that I actually enjoy.
Oh, well. Because it's got the extra thing to it. Did he have anyone on to interview during it? Or
no. Okay. Nope. He just...
But I'd like to watch it with him, because I don't watch a lot of, you know, anime or things like that. And I feel like I'd benefit from hearing his, you know, take on it and opinions and stuff, you know, like he does Joe Bob. I mean,
yeah, I mean, apparently he loves it too. So,
well, and you know who else really liked Perfect Blue, at least stylistically, is Darren Aronofsky, because Black Swan, if whether he'll say it or not, was highly influenced by Perfect Blue. Because the plot is very similar.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
A couple of other movies I watched. I watched The Haunting of Molly Hartley. I think that was on Shudder. That was actually kind of interesting. I kind of like that. I don't want to go into it because I don't want to give anything away, but it's
Is it a ghost or is it possession?
Possession.
Okay.
It's definitely interesting, and I enjoyed the ride. Shudder also put out the Etheria collection for 2023.
That's what I was going to talk about too.
All of them were very good. One I could not watch the ending; I had to walk away because it was so creepy.
Which one?
Creepy.
Which one?
The Spot. I can't remember the actual name, but it's the one that had the lady with the big thing wrapped around her neck.
Oh, Sucker.
Yeah,
I hate
Sucker.
That one. Oh, that was my least favorite one.
That one creeped me out, but it was still good. But I had to walk away at the ending when I knew the ending was coming.
I thought you were gonna say what was going to happen. I thought you were going to say the Sleep Demon one, because at the end we were all just like, oh, frick.
Oh, no, that one I called, but I...
Yeah. We won't go into detail. We're just talking to each other.
Yeah, no. Definitely get... I mean, they're mm-hmm. it's short... 15-minute movies, 15, 20 minutes.
All directed and written by women. I want to point mm-hmm. that out as well.
Yeah. Very cool.
Which is the whole point of the Etheria. Yeah.
Some of them are like, why isn't this, why, yeah, they have to make this into a movie.
Some of them were exactly the right length, but then others, you want more.
Mm-hmm. Kind of Is it where would you put them in terms of like quality? With, because we watched that one last year, XX, that was all women directed anthology, and we thought for the most part we kind of all agreed they were pretty good. One was a little weaker than the rest, but like they were good. Would you put it at sort of that level, better than those?
I think these were better. I would.
You think so? Okay.
It's my opinion. I think they,
slightly better than the better ones. Yeah.
Because that was what? That was like 2015, 2016, something like that. It was a few years old, but I just remember us liking those. So if you say these are better, I'll have to check them out.
Definitely. Yeah, and they do this like every year. So somebody gave me the link to, well, I guess a lot of them are on Shudder as well. There's like the series.
Nice.
So you can check out the different seasons.
I love stuff like that. Yeah. I like anytime you can get new filmmakers involved, but to give it a focus like that and to get more women into the roles of writing and producing and directing, I'm all for it. So
the first story I just want to point out has Alyssa Milano in it, and I did not realize it was her until the end, because I was like, wow. That chick kind of looks like Alyssa Milano, doesn't she? Oh, it's because it's her. She looks great. I'm just saying. I hadn't seen her in a while.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Another one I watched was Baby Oopsie from the Demonic Toys line. I love Full Moon Entertainment. They're cheesy. You know what you're getting into with them. And they went all out. It was very well done for the type of movie that it is. I enjoyed it immensely.
Dreadly. How is...
Hello.
What do you...
You know, Baby Oopsie was actually the working title for Mad God.
Oh, boy.
Exactly. You're welcome. Anyway, so what have I been doing? Yes. Well, first of all, let's go into games. Travis already mentioned The Panel from Hell. I'm just going to say one thing about that, and Travis missed it, I think. Yes. So a guy walks up to a guy, and one guy makes out with another guy, and the other guy turns into a bear. And then they have sex, and a squirrel drops a nut. Baldur's Gate 3, everyone. Baldur's Gate 3.
I will say I saw the clip of that afterwards.
Ah, that's Squirrel's face, though. Come on. He's
seen things. Oh, man. That squirrel has seen things he cannot unsee.
Nope. But yeah, super excited about that game. That looks great. Everything they showed. Oh, yeah. And at the end, things got really dark, and I felt like more Silent Hill than Baldur's Gate. Because... there were some creepy things going on.
Yeah, there were.
You know, nurses again, of course. It's always nurses. Ah.
Hello, nurse.
Yes. But yeah, I am in the middle of Baldur's Gate 1 right now, playing through that as I attempt to finish that and 2 before 3 comes out. Should be doable. I know 2 very well, so I can move fast through that. Baldur's Gate 1, though, being level 1 character in an RPG, especially as a wild mage, it's rough. It's rough. yeah. So that's all my gaming, basically. It's Baldur's Gate. Baldur's Gate. Baldur's Gate. Watching things. Well, we already mentioned Joe Bob, so I'll just mention the best movie that we've watched in the past couple of weeks, which is Sharknado, of course. Hell yeah.
Nah.
No.
Hell yeah.
I made it through the movie, so you know there's that, but
just wait till we watch the sequels. They get better.
Travis, you didn't have to sit through what should have been Sharksorcist. Or Shark Exorcist for real. But that movie is so much like Sharknado is Oscar award worthy compared to these other movies. No lie. That's just think about that think about what I just said and know the scars inside of my soul.
I don't want to think about it.
Just wait till the sequels when we get to androids and space and laser beams and all kinds of shit. Yeah.
I don't understand why Terry.
And the Hoff.
You know what? I'm not even going to go there.
Oh, yeah. David Hasselhoff is great in this. But yeah, definitely great movie. Check it out. As Joe Bob says.
Did he give it a score of 2 stars or something? I don't remember.
No, he gave it 4 stars.
He didn't give it 4 stars.
Oh, yeah.
1.5 at most, right?
No.
Did he? Oh, Joe Bob.
I've honestly blocked a lot of it out, so I couldn't tell you.
We'll rewatch it soon. It's fine. Other than that, I have not been watching a lot, except I've rewatched all the Evil Dead movies, because that's what we're doing today. We'll mention that later. And I've also been watching True Blood. Finished season, what's it now? 3?
Yeah. So, we just got into season... We just started season 4.
Yes. Many hot vampires having sex. Well, not just vampires. Everyone's just having sex. A lot of Tabasco. All the Tabasco everywhere.
He really has this obsession with the Tabasco that's on every table in that restaurant.
Not even in restaurants. It's just everywhere in that show. It's everywhere.
It's a subliminal
like it was
message.
A paid product placement.
Probably. Because it's always Tabasco, not other things. But yeah, people still having sex, vampires, blah, blah, blah. I'm still having fun with it. Can't wait for the next season of people having sex and vampires. there were cat
Rice was weird.
Look, the last season had meow.
Yeah, no, that's not a spoiler. I meant the other.
Yeah.
Watch where you
step. No, you know, it had cat people.
Yeah, werepanthers, which are real.
And I like cat people. Of course, they were doing incest because that's what all cat people do. Sleepwalkers, anyone?
They were trying to keep their bloodline proper, which I don't understand why the werewolves didn't have to do the same thing. But then again, whatever. I think it's just this particular family. I don't think it's all werepanthers everywhere.
Yeah, I'll ask that to the cousin, brother, dad. Stuff's amazing. Yeah.
I mean, it takes place in Louisiana. That's all I'm saying.
Cousin, brother, uncle, dad?
Somebody actually said that. They walked up and they're like, brother, cousin. I was like, oh my God. Oh God. It's not my favorite part of the show. I'm just saying. So I've been, I also watched the Etheria thing. Obviously, I was talking with Faye before, and we recommend that both of us recommend it. We watched this movie that I randomly found from 2018 called You Might Be the Killer for our patron movie night. And I was surprised I had never seen it. It's really, it's kind of funny, and it's very meta horror. And I don't know how I missed this at all, but it was a fun time was had by all.
Yes,
go check it out. I don't know why it wasn't on my radar, but you know, whatever. 2018,
I missed it too. So
yeah, I had never heard of it, and you brought it up, and I've told a few people about it since then. Like, it was just this silly little, you know, meta horror movie. It was fun. Fun is the perfect word for it. It's just that
nice little hidden gem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just makes me excited to find more hidden gems out there. All the movies that got lost during the 2020 to now, like that, you know, came out and we just like either got glazed over or we just didn't see. I'm sure there's mining to be done.
Oh yeah.
I randomly rewatched Evil Dead Rise, and not because of this impending episode. It just happened to be, which is, there you go. I also re-watched Return of the Living Dead because I watch it every July 3rd you know, the day that it happens, like you do. And of course, for my July 4th movie, I rewatched Jaws for like the 35th time, I think.
This year, folks.
Yes.
I adore Jaws. Every single time I watch it, I could watch it again. I could watch the next three sequels, even though they're not as good. I could still watch them. God, it's just, there's a movie to watch every year. Go watch Jaws again.
It's just good, pure and simple. Like and you know, on paper it shouldn't be as good as it is, but with everything that went on while making it, as we talked about before, it's just that good. It's worth watching every year.
Yes. Make it your tradition too, so that I have someone to talk to.
That's a bad hat, Harry.
Gonna need a bigger boat.
A what? But I think it's about that time to peek around that corner and give you some of the highlights of horror news.
We finally got a preview for The Nun 2. Nice, yay! Long, full trailer. Yeah. I can't wait. This looks really good.
I'm more excited for it after seeing.
The trailer has me more excited for the movie than I initially was as well. Because I think we all agreed it was... The Nun was one of the weaker entries in the Conjuring franchise. It wasn't awful, but when you compare it to the rest of that franchise, it's not that great, and it had its flaws, but their marketing is working because they've got me excited for this one. So.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait to watch it.
Yeah, I will be there as soon as I can.
Yeah,
September, I think. I think it hits theaters in September, so.
Yeah. We don't have a long wait.
Nope.
We don't have a long
wait. No, this year's just flying by.
Well, that's all we're going to have for the news, because you know what we're going to do right now? We're going to do a special ranking of all the Evil Dead movies. Woo! Including Ash vs. Evil Dead.
All the episodes, ladies and gentlemen.
No. Stop it. So there's six of them. We will tell you. We'll go around. We'll try to make this quick because, you know, there's only six things and we all agree. I'm pretty sure we all agree that all six of the things are good. It's just where they fall in the good, lesser or worse.
This is a horror franchise that just doesn't really miss. From everyone you talk to or you hear, you very rarely hear somebody talk about like, oh, well, that entry in the Evil Dead franchise is terrible. There's no Halloween Curse of Michael Myers in this series.
I like that one. You know, the worst that you get is me saying that I don't particularly care for one as much as the others. But like, then again, that's just, something's got to be sixth, right?
Yeah. Also, this is one of those series that pretty much all of them do something differently. They feel different. Mm-hmm. They have like a different,
flavor. I like flavor, to call it flavor.
Exactly. Different flavor of blood.
So let's start going around the horn and find out everyone's number six.
Six.
Travis.
So my number six is going to have to be, because it's the most recent one and I haven't seen it yet, is Evil Dead Rise. That's not to say that I think it's the sixth in the franchise, but I haven't seen it. I can't make a full say on it, but I am excited to watch it soon because it looks amazing. I just did not get a chance to go see it yet.
Faye, what is your number six?
The first one, The Evil Dead.
Gasp.
Shock.
Doesn't mean that it's bad. This is just the lowest on the list.
Yeah, it's the sixth best Evil Dead thing. I'm going to say thing. Dreadly.
Oh, my number six is going to be The Evil Dead. Yep. This is still a great movie, as we'll discuss later in this episode. It just had the The bad thing is that the Evil Dead 2 exists, basically.
My number 6 is Evil Dead 2013. This isn't a surprise. It is. I haven't rewatched it. I will give you that. I don't know. I don't think I could make it go any higher, though, even if I watched it. But I could maybe decide I liked it more. But we'll see if I watch it again. Okay. Travis, what is your number 5?
Well, my number 5, for much the same reasons as my number 6, is Evil Dead 2013. I also haven't seen that one yet. And I wanted to, but didn't happen because I haven't seen it. I just can't rank it any higher than that. So I decided to put those 5 and 6 in their chronological order.
Wait, you haven't seen?
Yeah, stay tuned. We might, that might get changed here in a few weeks. So,
weeks. What month is it?
It goes fast, Monica. It goes fast.
It really does. But keep an eye out on all the socials and you may find out that I will finally be watching that sometime soon.
Faye, what is your number 5?
Evil Dead 2013. Not a bad movie again, just the next step in the row.
Dreadly.
Well, my number 5 will be Evil Dead 2013.
Really? I'm feeling good about my
That's a good movie, and I rewatched it, and visually it looks very good. The camera work they do on that, some of the shots, very nice. Mm-hmm.
This is the part that's going to surprise people. My number 5 is Evil Dead 1981.
It's not really a surprise.
Yeah, why is this surprising anyway?
Dredd and I both put it as number 6, so.
Well, for me, not for you. You guys, that makes sense. Me, that means that a certain movie is higher up than I think people think that they would think that thinking.
Yeah. We broke her. Yay!
Do you smell toast?
Almonds?
Oh boy.
It tastes copper.
Travis, what is your number 4?
Well, for me, number 4 in the franchise, similarly to Evil Dead 2013 and Evil Dead Rise, although I have seen some of it, is Ash versus Evil Dead. I haven't watched the whole series, but I have watched a good bit of it, and it was great to see Bruce Campbell come back and play the role. Lucy Lawless is in it, and that's always a win. It's very good. I just can't rank it any higher than the other 3 because I didn't finish it yet.
Ironically, I just want to point out that even though Travis hasn't seen these 3 things, like he's still, well, at least the last 2, like he basically rated it what we who have seen it, you know, he's got the same numbers. So that should tell you something. I don't know what it tells you, but it tells you something. Faye, your number 4.
Evil Dead Rise.
Ooh. Interesting.
Still great movies. No complaints. Sure.
Yeah, great.
Still got to have
the operative word there.
A bit cheesy, a bit great.
Yeah, it's a cheesy, great movie.
New expansion of the lore. Love that.
Dreadly, your number 4.
Oh, well, it's going to be Evil Dead Rise. Yeah. I'm just following Faye.
Apparently. Right.
Yeah. You little copycats, just caught it. My number 4 is Evil Dead Rise. I feel like this gore score is going to be very, very similar.
Yeah. That one's wicked. Rewatches the 2013. Just switch it around and she'll be exactly like we do.
No. Because I think no matter how many times I rewatch it, even if I like it, I don't think I could ever put it above the original. But maybe I could, but then it would only move up one spot.
Well, yeah. Then you'd follow me and Faye. Yeah.
It's true.
the correct scores.
And now for the top three.
Da, da, da.
Your number three, Travis.
This one I had to debate a little bit with myself. I really could put all three of these movies in just about any order and be happy with that. But I put at number three, Army of Darkness. And the reasoning behind that was I love, love, love Army of Darkness. It is a fantastic movie. I quote it all the time. I can watch it whenever I want to. But I just, it's subject to change. Like, you could ask me in a week and I might put it at number one. I might put it at number two. There was, it goes harder on the comedy aspect of things, and especially like the slapstick of it. And it's fantastic, but that put it at number three this time that I ranked them. Maybe it's because I just rewatched the original movie, so it's fresher in my brain, but there was something about that versus, and again, like Army of Darkness, I just love, and I can watch it whenever. It doesn't matter. You say you want to watch Army of Darkness, I'm there, popcorn in hand, ready to go. But right now, it hit number three for me. It's just a little, it leans a little more comedy than it does horror. And okay. I guess I'm just feeling more of the horror end of things.
Hara. Faye, you're number three.
Ash versus the Evil Dead, the TV series.
Dreadly, you're number three.
Not Ash versus Evil Dead. So there we go. We changed. My number three will be Evil Dead 2. Yeah. If you had asked me before, that would probably have been my number one. But just like Travis, these things are very fluid. they're all great movies. So, yeah. This is how I felt like this weekend, apparently.
My number three is Army of Darkness. I also really love that, but I put it at number three. I don't really know what else to say. It could have been anything. No, it only could have been in the top three. Travis, your number two.
My number two is 1981's The Evil Dead. It's just good. We'll get into it a lot more, but, and again, you could put all these names in a hat, pull them out at random, and I wouldn't be upset with that ranking necessarily. But for me, it just edged out Army of Darkness a little bit.
Faye, you're number two.
Evil Dead 2.
What?
Dreadly. You're number two.
My number two will be Army of Darkness.
Uh-huh. My number two is Evil Dead 2. Ha-ha. And finally,
my number one is Evil Dead 2, Dead by Dawn.
Dead by Dawn. Sorry.
It's the perfect mixture of the horror and the comedy. It retells the first movie, expands on that, bridges into Army of Darkness, and it's just bonkers, and I love every second of it.
Mm-hmm. And shows up Bruce Campbell.
Soul. Yep.
Spoil your soul.
Oh, and it's Bruce Campbell at his most Bruce Campbelliest.
Yeah. Agreed.
Faye.
My number one is Army of Darkness.
Woo!
I ain't gotta love that boomstick. Shop smart. Shop S-Mart. It's the comedy for me. The comedy, it does lead more into comedy than it does horror. But that's what I love about it.
Yeah.
Loved me once.
You've grown real ugly.
Dreadly.
Well, my number one is Ash versus Evil Dead. Just like Chucky was great, well, it really shouldn't be, but which is great. Ash versus Evil Dead is the similar thing. It just embodies perfectly both comedy and horror aspects of Evil Dead. And 20-minute episodes, they fly by, and they're just like... And also Lucy Lawless.
My number one is also Ash versus the Evil Dead. And for exactly what you said, the first movie, it starts out as horror. The second one is like combination horror comedy, like Travis said. And then Army of Darkness is like, balls out comedy. And I feel like when they did Ash versus the Evil Dead, they somehow... They went back. They kept the horror aspect, but they also kept the comedy. And it's all of the like the throwbacks to each movie, and it's partly the nostalgia, but and it's funny because I didn't watch Ash vs. the Evil Dead right away. I didn't watch it until I think the series was already over by the time I went to watch it. Finally. And I just adore it. It's like the perfect companion piece to the thing. The perfect reach around. Wrap around.
Yeah, the perfect reach around for some.
It's
Evil Dead, so.
True. Like any of these movies could go in any place and that would be the right answer, like we said. But these are all like personal. And you can tell that some of us love the comedy, some of us love the horror, some of us love the perfect blend mix of that. But I think we all tend to lean towards the comedy just slightly, just a little bit. Like we edge towards.
It's Bruce, right? Bruce Campbell works when he is mixing, because he's got, especially young Bruce Campbell, has leading man looks. Like he's a very good looking guy with a chin that looks like a clenched fist. While also just being hilarious, and his timing is so good.
Mm-hmm. And it's why I've loved pretty much everything he's been in.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He's just, yeah. I even watched Burn Notice for the Love of Christmas Trees.
Yep.
Didn't watch that, but I know he was in it.
I liked Burn Notice, and I really liked him in Burn Notice.
I just think of Briscoe.
Hmm.
Between Ash and Briscoe.
Oh, Briscoe.
I have not seen that.
Oh, Briscoe County Jr.
So now that we're at the end of it, we get to give you all the gore score, which is interesting, actually. Our gore score is, in fifth place, Evil Dead 2013. In fourth place, The Evil Dead. In third place, Evil Dead Rise. Tied for second place is Army of Darkness and Ash versus the Evil Dead, which makes perfect sense, by the way. I love that they're tied. And our number one, Evil Dead 2.
Fair.
I mean, come on. Evil Dead 2 introduced us to Chainsaw Hand.
Yep.
Chainsaw Hand. Sure. Yeah.
It wins just on that alone.
It wins on Chainsaw Hand, yes. God, and every time we see a chainsaw in a horror movie, you only have two thoughts. This, the second one, Evil Dead 2, or Texas Chainsaw. Aw, man, that would have been cool. We could have had Summer of Chainsaws if I had thought about it. But never mind.
And now for tonight's demon resurrecting presentation.
Hey, beam me up, Scotty.
What?
The flashlight. Point the beam up here so I can see what I'm doing.
Oh, all right. Sorry.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, all right, we should have lights and electricity now.
Why did we come to this old cabin anyway? Feels like it could collapse at any moment.
It's not that bad. I myself think it was pretty cool of Professor Nobi to let us spend the weekend here.
Yeah, and he even left us this record player.
Yeah, but only one record, though. The Kandarian Demons? I'd never even heard of them.
Me neither. And such a strange album title. Please, oh God, please, do not play this.
Ooh, let's play it.
That was haunting.
Could have used some more soul.
Ah, did you just stab me in the back?
Is there a B-side?
Were those trees always there?
What happened to your eyes?
Ah, shit. I'll get the chains already.
The Evil Dead is a 1981 supernatural horror film written and directed by Sam Raimi in his feature directorial debut. The film stars Bruce Campbell, Ellen Sandweiss, Richard DeMannencore, Betsy Baker, and Teresa Tilly. It's the first in the series of the Evil Dead movies. Well, in all its varied forms, really. And is still considered one of the greats. And much like the movie we covered last episode, it created another type of zombie, and I put quotes around that, the demonic zombie, and gave us the horror icon that is Ash Williams. So how do you feel about this movie, Travis?
Well, I mean, as I said when we were ranking them all, I love it. It could have been number one for me. I put it at number three. It's just fantastic. It is low budget as low budget gets. I think they made the movie for about $375,000. They had to scrape together just to get that. Bruce Campbell put up his family's property in Northern Michigan as collateral for part of the money. They were like
Northern
soliciting
Michigan.
From. Yeah.
Did they live by you?
Up in this region. They're from downstate. Sam Raimi, Bruce Campbell, Bob Tappert all went to high school together down in the Detroit area. But they were like getting a hold of local businesses to help fund the movie, like everything they could. And it shows because the movie is very low budget, but it also shows a lot of talent and ability from Sam Raimi, from the makeup people, the effects people that they were able to get to go along with them, Bruce Campbell, all of it. And they all pitched in. And there's like a heart to the movie that belies its super, super low budget. Like we've seen other super low budget things and they look like shit. And this doesn't, even though some of the acting is, you know, not great. There's stuff that definitely looks a little, you know, it's fine, but like there's something there. There's that underlying ability and talent there that shines through, and just some of the ingenuity that they went through, like getting some of those POV shots of the evil moving through the woods and stuff like that. Oh, yeah. Just so cool. We can talk about later, but I love it. I love the movie. Have loved it for years. Love the whole franchise. It's great.
Faye, how do you feel about this movie?
Pretty much what Travis said. I mean, in this case, there's not really much I could add to it. I mean, I agree. It's great. I mean, it's a classic for a reason. Watch it.
Yes. Dreadly, how do you feel about this movie?
Well, you know, I put it last in my ranking, so it definitely sucks. But no, it does not. This is a great, fun movie. What can I add? What can I add?
Something personal.
I love Bruce Campbell.
Who doesn't?
I like how he gets knocked and gets stuck under a wooden cupboard or wall thingy.
Oh, yes.
Multiple times.
Yeah. He's just a useless, bumbling fool.
Oh, yeah.
I love that about him. Because I am a useless, bumbling fool. I don't know if you all have noticed that, but even in my real life, I trip constantly. I have fallen several times in my life. And once a bookshelf did fall on me. No, I'm just joking.
I also cut off heads with spades and all that. But let's not go into that.
I go to cabins and I, you know. I give all my girlfriends tiny magnifying glasses to, you know.
I also saw this movie way too young, probably. I actually owned the VHS double with the second movie. It was like case with like VHS on one side and one on the other.
Was this one ever banned in Belgium? Because it was.
I don't think so.
It was one of the original video nasties in the UK. Yeah. Like it was banned there. It wasn't fully released uncut in the UK until 2001. And like then not again until like 2016 or something. And a bunch of countries, when it came out, it got lumped in with all of like Faces of Death and all that kind of stuff. And it's so much better than those things were. But it got lumped in with all of them, and so it was banned in a lot of places. I was curious, but...
We don't really ban much here. We allow everything.
Yeah. I feel like Europe, like the England and Germany, it's usually them banning stuff.
Germany is a very weird country, because they do indeed cut a lot of things out and don't show certain things. But then on the other side, they show a lot more than us, and some of these old movies, if you want to find an uncut version, you'll find it in Germany. You'll find the German DVD or Blu-ray, and it'll have the uncut version, while the rest of the world is like stuck in, I don't know, Middle Ages. It's weird.
All depends on what needed to be cut.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, I love this movie. Of the Bruce Campbells, it has the least laughs, but it's still definitely funnier than the 2013 and the Rise. So I still really much adore it. Ash is, like I said, he's like me. He's like a bumbling fool who messes up his words and he says the wrong things and he's a nerd. And it's like I identify with him, even though he's a man, you know. I love him. And we have our first final boy, maybe, right? Can we call him? We'll get to that later, too, but I just, like, I adore that. And he's one of the ones I just, like, he does unlikely hero as well, right? Final boy and unlikely hero. And that doesn't happen, because the whole point, I don't know why I'm going into it now, but whatever. I just love that about him.
Yeah.
And let me finish real quick. Yeah. And whatchamacallit. Also, the look of this still grosses me out a lot. There's a lot of stuff. There's one scene in particular I'm going to say that I absolutely hate watching every time that I watch this movie. Which is why sometimes
everybody hates.
Yeah.
Yeah. including the filmmakers.
Yeah, I prefer the second one a lot of the time because of that, too. Because it's so uncomfortable for me. If you were to cut that scene out, it's just, that's what I try to do. I just try to ignore that scene, basically. And, you know, I avoided trees for most of my life. Yes.
Well, and that scene wasn't originally scripted that way. It was just the trees attacking, but as they were filming, they kept like ramping up and amping up the uncomfortable factor of it till they got to the point of what they filmed.
I don't know if we talked about it or if it was when they were talking about Hollow Man on FilmSack, but there was a discussion that happened in the Discord as well. And just like the way that they used to show they would show it in this, like, it's very uncomfortable because they're showing something that's sexual assault, but they're showing it in a very, like, sexy, sexual way. And it feels worse than if it was just, like, when I watched the, you know, 1972 Woods movie. What was it called? We just did it. Wes Craven. Last House on the Left. I can watch that because it is brutal, because that's what it should be. That's what it is. It is brutal. It is ugly. It is not something to romanticize at all. And that is like what I respect in that movie. And so this, that's why it's so icky. Plus it's an inanimate thing that makes it just weirder and worse or something. I don't know. I mean, I had to see too much.
Even Sam Raimi at this, you know, has said, and so did Alan Sandweiss, and so did Bruce Campbell. They're all like, yeah, we shouldn't have done that. And Raimi's like, I would not do that today. I would cut that out, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, and for me also with this movie, because of the connection to Michigan State University, you know, she's wearing the shirt and all of that. I went to Michigan State University. That's where I went to college right out of high school. And so there's that nice kind of connection, knowing Bruce Campbell and Sam Raimi are from the state, and like the fact that they weren't Hollywood in, and it was the late 70s. And he was just like, I'm going to do everything I can to make this movie, and pulled it off, for me is very inspirational too. So that's also another feather in the cap for this movie.
It's like the hometown thing. Like it makes you like, whenever I think of anything, like, I know, like, it's not the same thing, but like when I think of like Camp Crystal Lake being in New Jersey, and it's like, I don't know. That's just like a thing for me. I'm like, yeah, there's where it is.
There's always that thing. Like when you can connect or relate to something, you know, it's if you're from an area and a movie is set there, or a movie was filmed there, or the people that made it are from there, like you connect to that. And Bruce Campbell having, like Bruce Campbell having, he had a house. I think he still does. I don't know. But he had a house in this in my city, in Traverse City. And a friend of mine actually worked on his roof, like, that kind of stuff. It's just kind of cool to know that, for especially when you're from a place like I am, that's so small and off in the middle. Like, you're in Jersey, which at least has proximity to, you know, New York and Philadelphia and like population centers. I live like 100+ miles from anything resembling an urban environment. So when there's anything that's tied to this area, it's kind of a big deal.
But people make fun of us. They make fun of us like we're New York's armpit or something. I hate that. It's a weird thing, and I go with it because it's funny and whatever. And it keeps them out of our state, which is actually, hey, we have beaches and stuff. Like, they don't realize that we've got like a nice little coastline and Atlantic City, which isn't that bad, Brian. Yeah. But you know what it's time for?
The 13.
The 13 is a specially cultivated list of tropes or our favorite things from horror movies. This list may change or be adjusted as time goes on, and in real time, because this is real life. Did anyone else want to fucking stab her, by the way?
Yep.
One of my notes is actually, fuck Linda. So creepy with the white eyes and that goddamn smile. So, yes.
Her laugh.
Absolutely.
Her laugh. It was just.
She did her job.
She did. And what's funny is her original look was supposed to be more lizard-like, I guess. And if you really pay attention closely, when he's pulling her out of the house and like dragging her outside, her makeup is a little different. It's a little darker. It's hard to see because the film at that point is so dark, but she doesn't have that like creepy ass porcelain doll thing going. And that just, ugh, la la la. So yeah, didn't like.
That's funny, by the way, that Linda is like, she's in all three movies by three different actresses.
Yeah.
Poor Linda.
Okay.
Number one, Kitty Cat.
No.
No.
No. No cats. No dogs.
Maybe some dead cats. I don't remember.
Stop.
That was a different movie. I watched all these movies. Sorry.
Yeah, well, that was your first mistake. Number two, Volkswagen.
No.
No Volkswagen, but it does have the Oldsmobile Delta 88. That is Sam. That was Sam Raimi's car at the time that they used for this, and he put in all of his movies for a long time. And it shows up somewhere.
Yeah, it is now famous because of it. Number three, scary location, time of the year, summer camp, beach.
Cabin in the woods.
Secluded cabin in the woods.
Which was a real abandoned cabin in the woods that they got permission to film at in Tennessee, and they had to like renovate the inside of it and add electricity because there was none. And it was apparently pretty awful because there was no insulation, and it was like, it was record cold temperatures for winter in Tennessee that year. So at one point, like half of the crew were staying in the cabin while they were filming there. And they by the end of production, they burned all the furniture inside the cabin in part to stay warm.
Wow.
Because they were like, well, we're done shooting all the interior stuff. All right, burn the furniture. It's cold in here. It also didn't have a basement. There was the trap door, and they would dig, like, they dug like 6 feet down and just put a ladder in there. And so all the basement stuff was shot back in Michigan, and like, I think it was Bob Tappert's family's basement and Sam Raimi's garage was where all the basement stuff was shot. Like all sorts of fun production things like that, that they ended up having to do.
This movie didn't create a cabin in the woods though, right? We should really figure out that. What movie did start that?
I don't know if it did or not, but it's certainly one of the earlier, at least popularized versions of like
movie,
dumb kids go
maybe,
to a cabin.
Cabin in the Woods maybe might have been like a whole like horror story kind of thing passed down, but like in movie form.
I say give it to it. If someone doesn't agree, you should just email us and we'll ignore it. But
I mean, if you were to ask people about like, you know, movies set in a abandoned cabin in the woods, this is going to be one of the early, you know, one of the first ones people are going to mention is like, oh yeah, Evil Dead had did that. So it certainly helped popularize the trope.
Yeah. Number four, meta horror, fourth wall breaks, mentioning the title.
Just one or two.
And this one, little bit, kind of, but not as much as it would do later on.
Well, not as Pills F. Eyes poster.
Yes.
There was that. That was
very clear.
I do. Do you want to tell that story?
Do you? You want to tell half of it? I'll tell the other half.
So the inspiration for that was in The Hills Have Eyes, there's a scene where there's a torn up Jaws poster on a wall. And that was supposedly Wes Craven saying this is how you do a scary movie and like kind of poking at Jaws a little bit. So then Sam Raimi.
Yeah. So Sam Raimi, he put the poster of the Hills Have Eyes in Evil Dead, this movie. And then Craven would later fire back in A Nightmare on Elm Street, where he would have the characters watch Evil Dead to try to stop falling asleep, to stave off falling asleep. And I'm like, I love that when I see like horror actors in other movies and things like that, or like just little, oh God, that's so fucking good. I love that. It's so cute. Mm-hmm. It's so cute. I don't know why I call it cute, but I love that. I like to believe they were all like a band of, you know, like misfit toys who were friends. And I know they all, you know, like some of them were, you know, Toby Hooper gets brought up a lot in a lot of stuff that I've seen, like, for some reason. It's always like someone's calling him or he's calling somebody.
Yeah.
I need horror director documentary, like, of the, you know, from, like, the 70s to the 90s or something.
In Search Of?
Yeah, I was going to say, In Search Of.
Well, I mean, yeah. I just meant, like, a lot more, because you know who's probably... Well, they're all dead now. Well, not all of them are dead, but a lot of them are dead now. That's the sad part. So we can't even go back and get...
Yeah, West just play the record of the movie and they'll resurrect them. And then,
yeah. Oh, wait, can we bury them in Pet Cemetery? Does that work?
Or that. Can do that.
Number 5. Archetype characters. Crazy Ralph from Friday the 13th. Randy from Scream. Creepy kids, creepy clowns, disappearing Shirleys.
I mean, Ash. Kind of bumbling, wisecracking, ineffective hero. Because he really is. He's,
yes.
Yeah, he is. I think the kids nowadays call that a himbo.
Probably, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, God.
That, you know, what? I never really thought about it before, but honestly, yeah. Ash is sort of the original himbo.
Oh, my God.
Because he is, like, you look at Bruce Campbell in this movie, he's a good-looking young guy. But he's useless. Like, he's a terrible hero for a movie, which makes us like him even more. Yeah. He gets the crap kicked out of him. We also had, you have Disappearing Shirleys on the list there. Fake Shemps would be a thing from that really kind of got started here because it was the whole... That was their way of getting around, like, because they filmed everything in Tennessee, and then if they had stuff to pick up and shoot later and they couldn't get the actors back, they'd just put Ted Raimi in costume and shoot him from an off angle so you couldn't see his face, and boom, there you go.
Or as Dreadly learned during this watch, there's a third Raimi.
Yeah, Ivan.
I was like, yeah, that's the oldest one. I think he's the oldest one.
I think so. But... Yeah, he like fake Shemps are a thing in all of Sam Raimi's movies, and that term really kind of got started because of this movie. And when you look at the credits, so many fake Shemps.
Yeah.
And for those that don't know, a fake Shemp, the idea behind that was there were episodes of The Three Stooges, which Raimi grew up loving, that would have Shemp, but when Shemp was sick, they couldn't use him, so they'd put a wig on somebody and shoot them from behind so you couldn't see his face, and that was a fake Shemp. And so they just took that idea and ran with it. Hmm. Also, director cameo.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And
producer.
That was Robert Tappert with him, right?
It was Bob Tappert and Sam Raimi as the two yokels on the side of the road.
That was, they're cute. It's funny how I did not remember the very beginning of the movie with that driving. I only remember like the floating and then they get to the cabin or they get to the bridge is what I remember. I didn't remember them driving for so long talking about stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that long, but you know.
And there was originally, because there's a shot where, what's his name? When he's driving, he's got a mason jar in his hand. He's supposed to be drinking moonshine, but they never say anything about it and they never mention it. So
I noticed it. This time, I'm like, what the hell is he holding? That's not a glass. That's what?
Mason jar full of water. That's all it was.
Yeah. Well, he should have spilled that everywhere when they nearly crashed into that truck, but you know, yeah, no doubt. Apparently it disappeared. Disappeared. Yep. Also, the archetype of the evil book. I count it as a character in these movies. The Necronomicon that isn't really the Necronomicon in this. I also like to point out that this is a really, really tiny book in this movie. I always forget that, but it's like, what?
It's like, it's this big, and then by the time you see, like, it's like right now it's like a little pamphlet, and later ones it's like a yearbook.
It's by like the time a diary of the dead, basically.
It grows, yeah. It grows. Let's see. I'm going to go with Deadite Linda laughing to annoy everyone else. She is, I don't know. She's the annoying girl. That's what I'm going to call her. Whatever. That's an archetype now. The laughing annoying girl. And the demonic living dead zombie thing. That can be an archetype.
Oh, yeah.
Or a thing. Number 6. Pointless boobies, weird wangs, Moonies, Fanny. Boobies.
There were boobies.
There were boobies.
course, it's that horror movie without the boobies.
I mean, it was just one. Well, it was two, but it was just one scene.
Yeah, it wasn't even gratuitous. So.
Got a lot of chin action now.
Oh, yeah. I don't know why I just did that. I'm going to cut it out. Like, number seven, retelling the legend and or establishing the movie's rules. I'll be right back. Let's split up. Don't go in there.
The book. Reading, like playing the tape.
He explains it. They keep listening anyway.
Yep. They're dumb. I loved the sound design of as they're listening to the tape and then when it would cut to outside and they would add in that howling wind noise, but then the voice also, they put the echo on the voice coming from the tape. So it sounds a little bit different than when they're just listening to it indoors. And I liked that effect. I also liked that howling wind noise was not stock audio. That was actually Sam Raimi recorded. He heard it in the hotel or apartment or whatever that he was staying in while they were filming. He woke up in the middle of the night and he was hearing that coming from the, like, by the mountains. And so he grabbed his audio equipment and just recorded that sound and used it.
Good. That's such an iconic sound with the video as well. But
Yeah.
I love it. I'll just hear my little write in right now. Cause you all mentioned that that's solitude, even though we're being taken through the woods and stuff. Just like, I love that. I also love the look of like the watery grave of brown leaves. Ooh, that was very poetic. But like you, when you're flying over it and there's like the lake filled with the brown leaves and stuff, or pond, I guess you would say. It's just so, it's just something about it. Like number eight, dance sequence, montage sequence, flashbacks.
Not a ton. There's a mini montage sort of thing when he takes Linda and out to the shed and chains her up. And then that sort of, they hadn't quite done the gearing up scene yet that they would start doing with like two in Army of Darkness that Raimi's so good at doing. But the fun factoid about that scene in the shed was that was a real chainsaw with a real blade on it. That he really had right up. No, but the insert shot where they show the pendant when he's looking at her and then they show the pendant and that's when he realizes he can't do it. If you look really closely, you can see her pulse in her neck and it's racing because he had a real chainsaw over top of her.
That's also why it's a different actress in the sequel.
Because he got nervous and dropped the saw. Whoopsies. Okay, so no flashbacks, but there is a callback when Ash pretends to be asleep before he gives her the present, and then the demon does it later, being funny, because that's just, that's adorable.
And that's what demons do. They're adorable.
Okay, Trent. Yes, we are.
Number nine, scary score, spooky soundtrack. Is this the kind of music that will keep us humming?
Yes.
Yes. That outro song?
I was actually dancing to that 1930s jazz music. Let's be honest.
Yeah, that kind of jazzy ragtime thing is catchy. It's weird, right? I can't ever tell you any of them. Like, I couldn't pick out and say, here's the music from Evil Dead. But as soon as I hear it, I know it. And like it just, what they used, what they did for the movie fit really well. And also good uses of no music. So many times where it's just silence.
Yes. I like that. And the wind, like you were saying before with the wind and stuff. That was its own, it was almost a score in itself.
Yeah.
Well, that was technically, right? Are you going to play the 1930s song or no? Are you saving it?
I was saving it for in the end. I can play it now.
Well, that's what I thought you were going to do. And then I started dancing and there was no music.
was also a great cut to the music at the end. With all mm-hmm. screaming and cut music. Mm-hmm. Love it.
That is, yeah. Number 10. That scared the shit out of me. Jump scares, one last scare, and other creepy shit. Trees are evil fuckers.
Literally?
Crazy.
No shit.
What? Ooh. I hate this is I hate that. I hate that. That's the worst part of the movie.
Agreed. I hate it.
Yeah, I mean that one. There's a few, you know, the surprisingly not a ton of jump scares, but there's a couple that they use in there that work really well. That I did enjoy. So
the pencil.
Oh God, the fucking
thing. That's all I have to say, right? That's a scare in a
Yeah, no, that's a I know that the movie
is greater.
Yeah, like I know the movies got, you know, more visceral as they went on with stuff like that, but that pencil is just because I guess that was another one that they changed on the fly that was supposed to be she just got stabbed in the foot and Tappert was like, no, do it in the ankle, that'll be worse. And yes, Bob. Yes. It's much worse. And especially because it's not just a stab. It's like a stab and then twisting and moving it around in there and that fake ankle that they built and it's just la la la. It's all squishy and nasty.
You could feel it. Feel it in your bones.
Don't like.
Nope. Nope.
I love a lot of the stuff in the third act with Ash in the house by himself. There's an overhead shot where he's moving along and they add in just a sound effect when the like ceiling beams would go by the camera. And I love like that shot's great. There's the mirror shot that in this is just like a bowl of water, but it's just it's such a simple, cheap effect, but it just looks so cool for him to just, because they managed to keep it perfectly still until he touches it, and I liked that.
Yeah, that looked really great. Even though the laughter was annoying, it was also very creepy and off-putting as well. I think that when they twisted to make them go back to being human, and that like the whole time. You just watch. You're watching it, waiting for the shoe to drop because everything isn't back to normal. Everything's not okay. You know that because they're fucking demons. And so, like that whole, it's kind of like this weird suspense almost. Like you're holding your breath until they turn demony again. I like that.
Don't touch her. It's a trick.
Yeah.
Not really scary, but one last scare. The end sequence thingy with the camera going through the doors. Love that.
So I love that because they would take and slap a wide angle lens on the camera and do that movement through. And that's such a Sam Raimi thing. And I remember when I was younger and we were filming something, we wanted to use that effect. And so we called it doing our Raimi cam. And it was just putting the wide angle lens adapter on the Sony Handycam we were using and going handheld and running through the woods or running through whatever we were doing. But the erratic movements, the water one at the beginning is awesome because that water is so smooth as they're moving over it. Cause it was just Sam Raimi in like a little dinghy with the camera and Bruce Campbell, like pushing the boat through the water to get that effect. And then some of them were, they would strap the camera to a 2x4 and just each grab, like him and Bruce or him and another guy would grab each end of the 2x4 and just go running through the woods with the camera on there, jumping over stuff and all that. So it gives it this really like the great kinetic feel to everything. And that final one is really, it's awesome because you're moving along and then the door whips open on one end and the door on the other end of the cabin just blows open and it goes right up onto Bruce. It's such a good, fun like way to end your movie, and it's just it comes out and they're filming it right around the same time as Halloween, right? And we talked about with Halloween how good all of that handheld footage used because they had the Steadicam, mm-hmm. and how that made that $700,000 film look more expensive because the camera movements could be so fluid and smooth. And this goes in the opposite direction where they're intentionally not that way. And it works so much. It works in this case to not have access to a Steadicam and not have the budget for that, so that they had to do everything. Their Steadicam was a 2x4, and it should look cheaper than it does, but he made it work.
I just also love hearing things like that, where you have your main actor basically helping create this kind of shed. Like, ah,
wouldn't that be awesome to have grown up with people, you know, like Sam Raimi's your friend, and you know, like, or your, you know, Bruce Campbell, like that. That's, I love hearing that kind of stuff. I would have loved to have somebody that I grew up with.
And again, like for me, like I identify with that aspect of things because I had those friends. We just didn't have the resources, but we also didn't quite have the ambition to really pull it off because of where we were. It was so much, there was so few opportunities to do anything. Like we didn't have access to real film equipment at the time. But like we had those hopes and dreams, we just didn't quite have the means and the ambition to pull it off. But I do identify with a lot of that. That was me and my friends growing up making movies and just doing silly stuff. So when I see, you know, somebody that did that and made it and becomes Sam Raimi, like that's really cool to me, and that's very just inspiring.
Yeah.
If you want us to make a gore movie, please head on to patreon.com.
It'll be Travis directed.
Dreadly. I'll write the script.
They will be the actresses. What will we do? Who knows? You know how crazy it is in Dredd's brain. It could be anything.
I'll be the innocent looking one that ends up being the killer.
Well, I guess there's no surprise in this movie now. Can I be the bumbling fool who ends up being the hero?
Sure.
Yay! Number 11. Someone does stupid shit. Or name your favorite trope.
Playing the tape.
Playing the tape and not stopping the tape once you know what's going on.
Right. Continuing to play the tape.
Because usually these tapes are clear what they're going to do. They're clear when they're going to start doing it. So they're giving you all the opportunity to hit stop there. Stop playing. No. Yep. Keep going. Also, if you're alone at night in the woods and you hear sounds or people saying, "Join us." Why don't you just head on out into the dark woods?
Even further.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just head on out there barefoot in your nightgown.
Yeah. It's fine. What? Everything's fine.
Yeah. I don't understand why you would do that. The one person who was alone, like everyone else was coupled up, the one person alone decides to go check out a suspicious noise. What the fuck? By the way, that's also breaking Randy's rules.
It is.
Just saying.
Also, a favorite of mine is in movies where they decide to barricade doors. Love it. Good idea.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yes. Look, there's a giant window to the left and right of this door that you're not barricading. And apparently the demon is too stupid because they keep banging the door instead of moving a little to the left or right.
Yep.
Yeah.
The suspense, though.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we can pretend that they're just messing with him by continuing to do the door or something, like giving him hope. We can pretend.
I love the trope of Dutch angles and stuff like that. And this movie has one of my favorites of all time because it's a Dutch angle without a Dutch angle, and.
Just an angle
when they're driving away, but it's getting out of the car because they tilted the camera and they parked the car on an incline that was the same as the tilted camera. So that Ash gets out of what looks like a flat parked car. And then as he's walking away, he walks away at this weird angle. And it's so surreal. And it just, I love that shot so much.
The, the fucking stairs. You know, you understand what I'm saying by that, right? Once again, my friggin' stairs that I hate. Why have holes? Why have holes in back? Why you do that?
To make the cost of building the stairs cheaper.
I mean, yes, but then demons can just grab you from behind, giggity.
Anybody could.
Grabby, not just grabby. Demons.
I mean, that way you can get those type of shots and kills. Easily.
Speaking of someone does stupid shit. Sending us an email. Yeah, gotcha. Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I thought you were going to say something. I'm sorry.
No, I was making a joke about you, your time in there. Okay. Someone does stupid shit. Well, they go and Bridge is dead. Then they go back to cabin and one dude is like, we'll take the bridge in the morning.
Technically, they may not have told him.
Yeah. But I mean, why else would they be back? You know.
But like, I never thought about it on any other watching, but he's right. They don't tell him that the bridge is out, and then he says, we'll just leave in the morning. And he doesn't say anything after that either. They just continue on with the movie, which is, it's kind of a flaw, but it's not really... It is weird wouldn't tell him.
They fix it.
The friggin' bridge is like destroyed. That's like a big deal. I would come back and tell you that immediately. I'd be like, Travis, the bridge.
Like I say, they fix that plot hole in two.
Oh, yeah.
They fix a lot of stuff in two.
Yeah. I keep confusing between one and two.
Yeah. I did that for a long time. I was like, wait a minute, how many people are in this movie?
Wait. One is a bridge, two is a flooding. There you go.
A flooding?
Yeah, the road / thing floods, I think, or something. I don't know. I was happy.
Well, they do. The bridge does get destroyed in two as well.
Ah. That's why you see the water, probably. I was paying attention. There's no other shut up.
It's only two people that go to the cabin in the second one.
Yes.
So there's no one to go back and tell anything to.
No.
So there you go. All right, I'm moving on. Number 12, final girl used in a positive way, breaking convention. Yes.
Oh, come on. His full name's Ashley. It's a girl's name.
Yeah.
That's sexist, Faye. We have our official first final boy. And I'd also like to give the Scream Queen Award to Ash. It's great. You think the other chick who's like the more... What is it, Cheryl? You think she's going to be like the final girl? Or maybe the other dude who's like the, you know, he's like the tough guy. He's like taking care of stuff at first. You think any one of them are going to do it? And they don't. And they subvert it. They break that convention. But they do it in a way that didn't piss me off. And I really like that. There's very few movies that can do that. Not have, you know, a final girl. And still be good, in my opinion. Ha! Number 13. The Savini scale of gore. It's not the quantity of gore, it's the quality of gore, special effects, and monsters. So how many...
Swallowed souls?
Swallow your soul!
Or pencils to the ankle, sure.
To the ankle? Okay. I did it.
Oh, by the way, Bob Tappert's... quote on that was stabbing her in the Achilles tendon to punish the audience more. Yes, Bob.
Thank you.
Well, I am going to give this an 8 pencils to the ankle. Is it the best we have seen? No, but given the budget that they had for making this movie and what they were able to accomplish on set with little to no experience either. This wasn't, you know, you didn't have a Tom Savini on the set who had worked with somebody who had worked with somebody who, you know, and he was leading it or anything. Like, they were doing a lot of this kind of just based on what they thought they knew. And it really works for the most part. There's a couple times where, like the stop motion stuff doesn't quite match up perfectly with the practical, the way that they matted it and all that, but damn does what they do look good and gross. Lots of milk and creamed corn was used.
I thought they were androids.
Hey, I agree for the most part. I was going to give it a 7. For those exact same reasons. I mean, for the budget that they had, for the knowledge that they had, it turned out really great, which is why it's a classic.
Yeah. I was also going to give it an 8. Because while watching it, I was like, this still looks good.
Yeah, I think I'm going to give it a 7. It definitely, you know, like you said, gets better with the second one. But most of this is really good. I like the lady in the basement. I love the lady in the basement. Don't ask me why. There's something about that. I have seen like cute little toys and stuff that are like either somebody made it. I don't know if it was like a real toy or if somebody like built it themselves, but it was just kind of like the little floorboard with the little chain and then the little hands coming out. And I was just like, I want that. Like that would be like a cool thing, like some kind of like statue or, you know, paraphernalia. I would adore that if somebody can go make that somebody who knows how to do things.
Well then.
Yes. Cause that's like, that's one of like a classic horror scene, kind of like the Jason in the lake of part 6 hanging, you know, not hanging, but like floating by the rock in the water, which I have a little thing of, a just perfect horror scene. Of course that is also in the second one. Right. But yeah, so either way, either movie, but anyway, so yeah, I give it a 7.
So this gives a good average of 7.5.
I was going to say, did anyone bring up when Ash sticks his thumbs into the eyes?
Yes.
Oh, it didn't, but boy, another, like, again, it's a good effect. It's gross.
It's like, I couldn't, like, I'm watching it and I'm just like, when did they, was that a real person at first and then they switched it? Because, like, if they switched it, I didn't see that.
No.
It really felt like it was a real person that his
finger. That actor never saw again. It's one blind, you know one I mean? Like, chopped up. It was quite the movie.
It was really, sad. Really it was like, make.
Yeah, that's why in the second one, there's only two people there. Going back to the cabin there.
They killed everyone.
Yeah.
Except for Ash. And that'll wrap up the 13 for this episode. Body count is 4.
Yeah.
Haha, 4. One of my favorite quotes is, I like the, it's not going to let us leave.
What do you mean?
Yes.
That's a good one.
I love the timing on that. It's not going to let us leave. Engine starts.
Yep.
Bridge.
Well, and I like that she says that. And then later on when Scotty comes back from his attempted, I'm going to hike out of here. And then he's saying that, you know, it's not going to let us leave. As he's all beat to hell, and he's, you can tell he's been attacked by the trees too.
Yeah. They don't show that, but he got some as well.
And then there's that shot of Ash when he pulls the stick out of his midsection, and it's just a hose of blood that comes out of it. It was like they had just a 5-gallon bucket and he just pulled the cork and it just all flows out. It was,
can we just appreciate Evil Dead series for all that? The amount of blood gushing that happens each of these movies or episodes of this show. It's the amazing.
In the basement in this movie, the pipe that bursts open and just dumps gallons of fake blood onto him.
Yes, that blood.
And I guess I guess at one point he, the shirt that he was wearing, he took off to like dry it out by the fire, and it solidified because of all, because the blood was like Karo syrup.
Oh God.
So it was just corn syrup and like coloring and
ugh. The bugs.
Well, thankfully it was winter. There were no bugs.
Oh yeah, that's right. And now we play. What the hell was that? It's where we play a clip from our next movie provided by our clip curator, Dreadly. Play the clip, Dreadly.
I will. But remember, kids, remember what month it is next episode. Remember.
It's either a great white or another killer whale.
Well, I'd like to know which.
Well, it's impossible for me to tell when the body's like this.
What was that? What?
A what? Can you guess that movie? Yeah, I think everyone can, honestly. Wait, we didn't even decide if we were going to make it a guessable thing. Do we even bother?
I don't think they'll ever guess. I don't think they'll ever guess.
I mean, if you want to tweet at us, sure, go ahead and we'll give you a little shout out on the show, but really, we know what movie it is, don't we? Don't we? We didn't get any emails, but if you'd like to email the show, please email us at gorepodcast13@gmail.com. We have a Patreon that you should join because it's really cool. And, you know, we like people and stuff. So you can become a patron by going to patreon.com/gore13. We still have that website created by Bumby, and we love visitors at our website because it's a website and that's what people like. So go to gorepodcast.com to check out more information about the shows. And if you'd like to support us in some non-monetary ways, feel free to leave a 5-star review on your podcast app of choice. You can leave any number of stars, but, you know, 5. Thanks. But until next episode, where can people find you, Travis?
Any social network, just look for TV's Travis. Twitter, tvstravis.com, Threads, Mastodon, all of them.
I like that you said all of them and then felt the need to list them all. Faye, where can people find you?
On Twitter at Chippy Faye Lynn.
And finally, Dreadly, tell people how they can travel to the bowels of hell to find you.
Well, just head on to thedreadzone.com and you'll find links to all my stuffs. Come join me on Twitch while I play Baldur's Gate. Where can people find you, kitten that is wicked?
You can follow me on Twitter and Twitch and probably a bunch of other social networks as well at wickedkitten13. Except for Threads. I should probably get on there. But anyway. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and I hope we made it a little harder to fall asleep tonight. Did anyone else want to fucking stab her, by the way?